Corky suddenly looked ill. From a classification standpoint, they look a lot like bugs. Tolland explained. Horseshoe crabs resemble giant trilobites, and the claws of a lobster resemble those of a large scorpion. Corky turned green. Okay, I've eaten my last lobster roll. Rachel looked fascinated. So arthropods on land stay small because the gravity selects naturally for smallness. But in the water, their bodies are buoyed up so they can grow very large. Exactly, Tolland said. An Alaskan king crab could be wrongly classified as a giant spider if we had limited fossil evidence. Rachel's excitement seemed to fade now to concern. Mike, again barring the issue of the meteorite's apparent authenticity, tell me this. Do you think the fossils we saw at Milne could possibly have come from the ocean? Earth's ocean? Tolland felt the directness of her gaze and sensed the true weight of her question. Hypothetically, I'd have to say yes. The ocean floor has sections that are 190 million years old, the same age as the fossils. And theoretically, the oceans could have sustained life forms that looked like this. Oh, please, Corky scoffed. I can't believe what I'm hearing here. Barring the issue of the meteorite's authenticity, the meteorite is irrefutable. Even if Earth has ocean floor the same age as that meteorite, we sure as hell don't have ocean floor that has fusion crust, anomalous nickel content, and chondrils. You're grasping at straws. Tolland knew Corky was right, and yet imagining the fossils as sea creatures had robbed Tolland of some of his awe over them. They seemed somehow more familiar now. Mike, Rachel said, why didn't any of the NASA scientists consider that these fossils might be ocean creatures, even from an ocean on another planet? Two reasons, really. Pelagic fossil samples, those from the ocean floor, tend to exhibit a plethora of intermingled species. Anything living in the millions of cubic feet of life above the ocean floor will eventually die and sink to the bottom. This means the ocean floor becomes a graveyard for species from every depth, pressure, and temperature environment. But the sample at Milne was clean. A single species. It looked more like something we might find in the desert. A brood of similar animals getting buried in a sandstorm, for example. Rachel nodded. And the second reason you guessed land rather than sea? Tolland shrugged. Gut instinct. Scientists have always believed space, if it were populated, would be populated by insects. And from what we've observed of space, there's a lot more dirt and rock out there than water. Rachel fell silent. Although, Tolland added, Rachel had him thinking now. I'll admit there are very deep parts of the ocean floor that oceanographers call dead zones. We don't really understand them, but they're areas in which the currents and food sources are such that almost nothing lives there, just a few species of bottom-dwelling scavengers. So from that standpoint, I suppose a single species fossil is not entirely out of the question. Hello, Corky grumbled. Remember the fusion crust? The mid-level nickel content? The chondrils? Why are we even talking about this? Tolland didn't reply. This issue of nickel content, Rachel said to Corky. Explain this to me again. The nickel content in Earth rocks is either very high or very low, but in meteorites the nickel content is within a specific mid-range window? Corky bobbed his head. Precisely. And so the nickel content in this sample falls precisely within the expected range of values. Very close, yes. Rachel looked surprised. Hold on. Close? What's that supposed to mean? Corky looked exasperated. As I explained earlier, all meteorite mineralogies are different. As scientists find new meteorites, we constantly need to update our calculations as to what we consider an acceptable nickel content for meteorites.